I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We are continuing our visit to Chicago, and today we are broadcasting live from Wishbone Restaurant, a Chicago hotspot. We're at the West Loop location, the one across the street from another famous spot, Harpo Studios, where Oprah Winfrey produces her syndicated program. Today, we're going to talk about the diversity that Chicago is famous for. What does that really mean? Do people actually mix it up, or are there just a lot of different kinds of people living separate lives? And we'll have our monthly visit with the magazine mavens, editors of some of our favorite magazines, who are also attending the Unity Conference of Journalists of Color, as we are. But first, a Chicago mover and shaker. Some people are good at grabbing the headlines. Others are good at getting things done. Valerie Jarrett is part of that second group. She's been a key aide to three Chicago mayors, served as chairman of the board of the Chicago Stock Exchange, chairman of the Chicago Transit Authority, is co-chair of the committee trying to bring the 2016 Olympics to Chicago, and she is the CEO of a real estate development firm. She's also in the spotlight as a close advisor to Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama. Valerie Jarrett was kind enough to join us at Wishbone. Thank you for stopping.
It's a pleasure. Welcome to Chicago, and welcome to one of my favorite restaurants in the city of Chicago. You obviously have very good taste.
Well, thank you. I've got to ask you, how did it happen that a nice lady from Hyde Park was born in Iran?
Well, that's a very good story. My mother was there. We could start with that. My father's a physician, and he was over there in Shiraz, Iran, working to help start a new hospital. And so my parents had been there for about a year. I was the second baby born in the hospital, and we lived there until I was about five when my father returned to the United States and joined the University of Chicago.
Do you remember anything about it?
I do have memories of it. Beautiful weather, not like Chicago in the wintertime. So a day like this in Chicago is the kind of weather I remember as a child. And, very welcoming. There were American physicians who were coming over in droves, and they were working together with Iranian physicians to collaborate and share expertise. And so those early years were good years.
I mentioned that you've worked in and around politics for much of your adult life.
You've worked 1987 is when I joined city government when Harold Washington was mayor of Chicago. And you mentioned I'd been there for three mayors, Mayor Sawyer and then Mayor Daley. I practiced law in Chicago when I first came out of law school.
What got you interested in getting into politics? I mean, some people just want to run in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think, you know what, I love Chicago. This is a city that I spent, you know, most of my childhood, formative years, my adulthood. My mother grew up here. My grandfather was here. He was very involved in public service. My grandfather was Robert Taylor, who was chairman of the Chicago Housing Authority during the 40s, and they named the infamous Robert Taylor homes after him. And notwithstanding that, our family's always had a strong commitment to the city and to make it do what we can do to help make it as vibrant and robust as it is today. And so giving something back was interesting to me. I was kind of bored practicing law in the private sector, and Harold Washington was a part of this progressive movement. And I had a lot of friends who said, look, why don't you come on in and join? If you don't like it, you can always leave. Well, I ended up spending 8 years full-time, another 8 years part-time as chair of the Transit Authority. So those were 16 of the best years of my life.
You've had this very interesting career, as you've just kind of pointed out. You've been connected to some of the most important civic functions that a city provides, like transportation, housing, business. How do you decide what projects to take on? Do you find them or do they find you?
Well, a little bit of both, but it's easy. I do what I care passionately about. So, you know, as I said, I love the city, and so I've tried to get involved in issues that are important to the city where you can actually make a difference and where I think I can make a difference. I don't want to just be there and kind of be another person at the table. I want to do it where I can actually think I can lend some expertise. The mayor asked me to chair the Transit Authority Board when I left, stepped down as being commissioner of the Department of Planning and Development. It seemed like a natural progression because I've been looking at physical planning for the whole city, and public transit is such an integral part of that. So, it kind of made sense. So sometimes opportunities find me, and sometimes I look for them.
Newsweek called you the consummate insider-outsider. Do you like that characterization? Is that how you see yourself?
Oh, I've been called worse. It's fine. I don't know exactly what it means. I think one thing I do is I straddle a lot of different areas. So I'm a member of the business community, and our business community in Chicago, this is something I want everybody to know, is I think extraordinary. Everyone here is engaged in the civic life. Everyone gives back, and, you know, we find, you know, whatever your interest is, whether it's the symphony or the opera, in my case, the hospitals and museums, and you'll find it's a very collaborative, cohesive business community. And so it's easy to be a part of that community and then also be a part of both politics and also the not-for-profit public sector.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Our guest for today's newsmaker interview is business and political leader Valerie Jarrett. She's also a senior advisor to the presidential campaign of Barack Obama. You're CEO of Habitat Company, a real estate company. Part of your portfolio, as I understand it, is to desegregate public housing.
Yes, we were appointed the receiver for the Chicago Housing Authority back in 1987 by federal judge Aspen as a part of a continuation of a consent decree. And the consent decree called the Gautreaux case was designed to try to disperse public housing residents throughout the city and take them out of areas that have been historically predominantly African American. And so our goal was to build housing, have it blend into the architecture of the surrounding community so it didn't stick out and the residents who live there weren't stigmatized by the bricks and mortar that they live in. And that program has evolved over the years. It started out a scattered site program where we would build, you know, one, two, three units, for example, on a block. And now, as a result of the mayor's leadership under this whole transformation program where the Housing Authority is tearing down these, you know, large tracts of public housing that have been dilapidated over the years, including the Robert Taylor Homes named after my granddad, and building back in place mixed-income communities. And so we are responsible at Habitat for overseeing the family housing component of that program. And the whole goal is to integrate public housing residents back into the urban fabric, have them move towards self-sufficiency, and build communities that are racially and economically integrated.
And of course, you know that one of the criticisms is that you are limiting the number of units for poor people in these individual projects at a time when there's an affordability crisis, I think, across the board. You know, it's always going to be harder to serve people with less clout, less visibility, less economic sort of viability. How do you maintain and keep the interests the most vulnerable people at the forefront, and also sort of balancing the concerns of other stakeholders who have more clout than they do?
It's a very fair question. I think you have to, let's start with what existed. You know, when residents of public housing were living in isolation in 100% low-income neighborhoods, they were removed from jobs, they were removed from services, social services, they were disconnected. And so the vision is we need to bring them back into the urban fabric, and that the chances of moving towards self-sufficiency improve if you are a part of a healthy, self-sustaining community. And there is a natural tension between just simply building units of housing very quickly for low-income families, and there is a demand in Chicago for affordable housing as there is across the nation, versus creating a healthy community. And our premise is that the communities that exist that house the populations were not healthy. And so we're trying to break that cycle of poverty. And so,
but how do you avoid the impression that what you're really saying is that there's something wrong with these people?
There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them other than they've been living in isolation. And so the goal is if you, I mean, if you look back at the reason why public housing was created to begin with, it was to provide a way station for people to stay for a period of time until they could get themselves back on their feet. And, you know, I spend all day long with the residents of public housing, and what they say is, look, I want a job. I want to have the appropriate training. I want to have the education I need. If my family has challenges, I want the social services I need to move towards self-sufficiency. You can't accomplish that if you live in isolation. And the theory is if people are living next door to people who know about job opportunities, whose children are going to school every day, who have parks and recreation and grocery stores and shopping centers, everything that you find in a neighborhood that has market rate housing. I mean, you're going to draw a shopping center if you have the market rate housing. You're not going to draw a shopping center if you're living in isolation. And so we want the residents of public housing to have all of the amenities that anyone else would have who could choose where they want to live. And there is a natural tension there, Michelle, but I think the goal is to try to create these healthy communities.
Got to talk some politics for a minute there.
Okay.
You knew that one.
Of course.
So you've known for your work as a senior advisor to the Obama campaign. There's a Wall Street Journal story today that suggests that this presidential campaign is essentially his to lose, but that more Americans say they identify with John McCain's background and values by a big margin. What are you going to do about that?
You know what? We don't really look at the polls, because if you looked at the polls this time last year, Senator Obama was behind by double digits. And so, you know, his job every day is to get up and work hard to introduce himself to the American people. He is a newcomer to the scene. John McCain certainly has been around for a very long time. So he looks at it as that's the burden that he carries, is to allow people to get to know him, to understand his track record over the last 20 years in public service, and to win their confidence and their support. And this has been an extraordinary campaign. I think anyone would concede that we haven't seen anything like this, certainly in my lifetime in the United States. The kind of accolades he's receiving as he's been on his overseas trip are second to none. And so he's going to work every day to win the support of the American people from here until the election. And I'm confident that he will prevail.
What do you think is the essential issue here that people, the essential question that the voters are trying to answer? I mean, is it connected to race? Is it connected to his education? Is it connected to his name?
You know what I think, as I've traveled around the country, and I've listened to people over the last 18 months, what I hear more than anything, Michelle, is people want to know, who's going to help them make sure that their job is secure, that they have a pension after they've worked for a lifetime and it doesn't evaporate, that their job doesn't go overseas? Who's going to make sure that they have health care so they're not having to choose between paying their rent and buying prescription drugs for their children? Who's going to help them, you know, with this horrible crisis with the mortgage? People care about their lives. That's what they're interested in. And they want to know, is this person, does he have the leadership qualities, the judgment to bring this country together? And I'm convinced Senator Obama has those qualities.
What about your life? If Senator Obama wins, can we expect to see you in Washington?
You know what? I love Chicago. We talked before the program started. This will always be my home. And I always say, let's get through the day. That's our challenge.
We have some nice rentals.
I'm sure you do. It's a terrific town.
Housing, what would be your portfolio?
Oh, listen, I'm serious. We're working on the campaign. We don't take anything for granted. I have a terrific job. I'm the president and CEO of a great company. And so let's take it one day at a time.
Okay. Valerie Jarrett is the CEO of the Habitat Company. She's also a senior advisor to the Obama campaign. She was kind enough to join us here at Wishbone Restaurant. Thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome. Enjoy your stay in Chicago.